Open your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 5. If there's still anyone who comes into service, I want to pray for those who have issues with half of their body. That was an instruction the Lord gave me yesterday. I'll pray for you. You can come to the office also. I'll pray for you. So we're talking about the blessedness of association. The blessedness of associations. Or, you know, however you want to frame it. But we'll be reading from Luke chapter 5. It came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Amen. You know, during the 21 days prayer, one of the things God has asked us, you know, God has asked us to now take the city. And it was on this very altar that the Lord began to speak to us in that direction. And he began to tell us about, you know, getting a bigger space. And it's time for us to grow, to multiply the expression of God's kingdom, you know, and begin to hit the 1,000 mark. It was just here. And I mean, it doesn't really make a lot of sense because we just recorded a beautiful testimony of the process of, which is literally coming to an end, of the purchase of this place. You know, we've already made a significant payment for the purchase. We is as good as completed by the grace of God. You know, and when we thought it was time to celebrate, and then the Lord says, it's time to, like, why didn't he tell us that before purchase? The reason he did not is because purchasing is part of his plan, because he has a huge plan for this place, yeah? You know, if you have an opportunity to purchase a house in this close, instead of purchasing it, just bring the money, because it's the same thing. Because you have to sell it again to us, right? What a blessing! Because the old close is for Jesus, right? And so, the Lord began to speak to us on, you know, moving to a bigger space even in the city. And so we're in the process of that. How many of you want to see us in thousands? Don't you like that? All right. So it's going to be that in the next few months. You see? Doesn't make sense, but we're not planning to make sense, right?
Yes.
The plan is to obey the Lord. How many of you want to make sense? Feel like making sense? Because the very metrics upon that which is sensible is folly. You understand? So we're not trying to make sense. We're trying to be obedient. And so I'm also happy today that my very dear friend, way back, is in the house. Let me appreciate my friend, Mr. Uche Nwokoi. He's here with a beautiful wife, and the children are all here. All right, I remember. You remember one story I talk about, where one guy was sure that I was mad. You remember that story? Until he heard me preach, other, as this guy is not really mad, he's a real human being. That's the person that said that. That's the person that said your pastor has run mad. Come on, welcome. He's such an amazing man, and he's such a great man. And he's blessed. All right. So we are really working towards that, and then we will roll out some of the plans. You know, pray along. You know, whenever you are going this way, Satan likes to show up. You know, Satan likes to show up when we're going this direction. So anytime I see Satan, or what I mean by that is anytime I see opposition, I am usually very excited because I know I'm on the right path. You know, Aliko is back. I think he has changed his hairstyle. So when I go to Canada, so I'll change my Esther. But can I change my Esther? It's like there's no hair to change. But look how he's changed his hairstyle. Wow. There's nothing we'll not see in this. Just 3 weeks in Canada, Lego has changed his Esther. And even this suit is a different... Huh? Lego, stand up, let me see. Even the shirt is different. Congratulations. Hallelujah. You know, we're soon going to August. August, yes. Maybe from the second week of August, let's start planning the weekly meetings. Let's do about 4 weeks so that we can immediately start the Ikorodu Church. You know, we sent Liko and Dami to go start, and Jones, where's the expatriate? And Jones, you know, Jones has been dodging Ikorodu. I'm looking at him. I sent him to Ikorodu, but he's just getting closer to the island. He's just he has moved the gate. He's not near the island, but I'm sending him to Ikorodu. He has come back a bit. He looked at all right, but he's going to Ikorodu. That's where. That's the direction of the oil. You know, we sent them to Ikorodu and they told me that they had not even done one service. And they said, we believe that we're starting with our own property. Yeah, I thought they were, I told Pastor Ovis, they're excited. I said, don't worry, they're excited. Let them go and look for one hall. Let's use it. But they were not. I went for the meeting we had in the hotel, in one hotel, and I was in the restroom. And the Lord told me, they are not excited. I'm the one speaking to them. They are purchasing a property, you know. And I said, wow. And I called Pastor Obi. I said, these guys are serious. So this is the Lord. And friends, in no time, as we speak right now, we have all the documents, all the papers of a very fantastic, very fantastic property that they have got in a very good location in Ikorodu. And we bombard there August, and then by September we do the inauguration. All of you coming for Ikorodu, that's your new church. You are blessed. I will do joint release, send forth party for you guys by September. And you know, the Ikorodu church is going to be a very mega church. Yeah, that was what the Lord told me. It's going to be a very mega church. We'll be the biggest church in that city. Yeah, it will be. It will be, I tell you. You can write it down. It's more real than everything in your physics textbook. More real. Your life is better because you came to church today. It came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed the great multitude of fishes, and their net break. And they beckoned unto their partners which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. So you can see that it's a big miracle that even the first ship did not sink. What a big miracle, because what they caught was about sinking both ships. So that one ship did not even sink. It's a big miracle. When Simon saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. You know, it was only Simon that had this response. This response. It was not everybody's response. It was Peter's response. And the Bible says it was because he saw it. And the truth is, are we saying the others did not see the fishes? What the Bible means here, that he understood. You see? And then his response was, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. You see, the rest saw it. But what they saw was fishes. And they began to sing. You understand? First thing are what? Omar. I don't know if that guy was able to eventually buy that Omar. But that year, he said, first thing, now Omar, $1 million. I may not remember that song. But I don't know if he has the Omar now. But even if they give you Omar for free now, you won't drive it. That's how vain this world is. Praise God. You know, my prayer for you is just that God will help you to see beyond the miracle. You know? I say, God, what exactly are you saying? You see? But that's not even the main point of this story. Such a robust story. You know, I've taught from this story severally. You know, for many years. In fact, I just got hold of a CD that comprises of about 5 gig of my old messages. You know, so I'm downloading it. I'm trying to hear myself, you know, again. You see? But recently I heard this message again, and it just inspired another light into my spirit. I heard another preacher preach this message. And it's one of my favorite messages, one of my favorite scripture. And today I will talk about the. Sorry, I'm sounding like I'm not coherent. I'm very, very coherent. Very, very. I know what I'm doing. You understand the point now. I'm looking for where to hit you. I'm studying you. Whether it's your kidney or liver, I should. You know? And so Jesus had a challenge, and it was a challenge of a perfect location to preach at that time. Because the Bible spoke about how there was a lot of pressing, you see, and then he needed somewhere to preach. And then by the mercies of God, the heaven made sure that the fishermen that day did not catch anything. You see, because if they had caught something, they would not have been there. You see, the boat, everything would not have been there for Jesus to use. So that delay was important for the kingdom. I don't know if you have to get out with me.
Yes, sir.
So in verse 1, it says that they pressed. You know, Lyolette, I told you I don't like Bolu. There are other things I like Bolu to do. I don't like Bolu to be on the system when I'm preaching. Do you understand? There are other things. I like Bolu. I like to play game with Bolu. I like to play table tennis with Bolu. I like to do planning for strategy with Bolu. But that one, I don't like. So, Lyle, go let Bolu get the FIFA ready for afternoon. I have Bolu sit down beside Lyle. Praise God. Stop using my preaching time to train your people. You train them before I preach. Bolu can go to Revelation chapter 12. And I want to read Luke chapter 5. Amen.
Amen.
So, the people pressed upon him to hear the word. And he was at the lake of Gennesaret, right? And he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. So you see, sometimes delay works alignment. Eh? Sometimes delay does what? It works alignment. Sometimes for a thing to be aligned, there has to be some miraculous delay. Because when you look at the richness of the scripture, this was how Peter was arrested.
Yeah.
And so when Peter is thinking fish, Jesus is thinking leadership for the New Testament church. Peter was thinking, I didn't catch fish. Jesus was thinking, apostle of the Lamb. And what was going to make that happen was that there needs to be a miraculous delay. You see, sometimes when you are a pro at something, and what you are a professional at is not working, perhaps it's an angel making sure it don't work. You see, because there's a need. You see, when I come to church on Sundays and on Wednesdays, you see, I don't come with a sweet tooth. I don't come to eat cake, or I don't come with my stomach full. I don't come to rest. I come to change lives. It's serious business. So when you also come to church, don't plan to go back with your problems, because your problem has met a bulldozer. You get it, the fact. And what's the bulldozer? The presence of God. The glory of God. You see? No service is casual. I don't come casually to any service. I come to engage matters that concern life, destiny, and even eternity. Yeah. So, we see here Peter having a delay, professional fisherman not catching fish. And the reason is because God was ensuring an alignment that will catapult him. Eh? The alignment was going to catapult him into his calling. Because I see you stepping into your calling. And it is going to be from the mundane. You understand the point? It's going to be from ordinary activity, career. Do you understand? It will be from career, and then you step into purpose. Which the purpose doesn't have to be fivefold, though. It can also be career. But there will just be a supernatural investment, you see, that will open the door at another level. You get it? Because some of you are ripe for a new level. I tell you the truth. You see, some of you are ripe for a level where the explanation can no longer be logical anymore. You now have to start saying it is God. Yes. You know, there's a time you say it is God that only you know it is God. But there's another thing God will do that everybody will know that this one is God. So Peter did not catch fish all night because it is divine for him not to. I want you to wipe away your tears of some of the things that has not happened that didn't happen because it was divine for it not to happen. It's not every delay that's from Satan.
Yes, sir.
Some delay is divine.
Yes, sir.
Some delay is divine. I'll quickly jump into the preaching now because you see, at the end of this preaching, even though the conversation was with Peter alone, you see, and it was Peter's sheep that Jesus used. But by the time Jesus worked that glorious miracle with Peter, Peter had to call his partners. And the partners experienced the exact same miracle Peter experienced without them giving their boats to Jesus.
Wow.
It was only Peter's boat Jesus used, but they got the same reward that Peter got. And the reason is because they associated with Peter. Blessed are you that day if you are Peter's friend. So, when Peter is sharing his testimony, he will tell you he gave Jesus his boat. And Jesus was on it. And then Jesus did this. When Peter's friends are sharing the testimony, they'll say, Peter, just call us. There is a blessing in association.
Yes, sir.
That is a blessing. Because Jesus will not sit on everybody's boat. But may you be the friend of the person he chooses to sit on his boat. There is a blessing. I tell you the truth. A lot of you are struggling to be the one Jesus will sit on the boat. He will not sit on many people's boat. Listen, let me tell you the truth too. Not all of us will carry the anointing at the same level.
Yes,
if you increase your prayer life, it doesn't mean you will carry it the way another person carries it. If God has not chosen to use you, if you like cram Greek and Hebrew, you will just remove your tooth. I'll tell you the truth, though. If you like crown, it's not Greek and Hebrew. If I can increase the prayer to 5 hours, I will begin to flow in this dimension. I tell you the truth. It might be better not to increase the prayer. Just go and calm down. If God hasn't chosen you for it, He hasn't chosen you for it. But if you can find someone God has chosen to sit on His boat and be associated with that person, then you can have the same reward.
Yeah.
You see, heaven's reward is shared in a very strange way. It's not shared in a natural way, the way we imagine it. You remember the parable of that Jesus shared about the guys he called to labor and negotiated with them. And then another one came in the last hour. And when they were sharing the reward, they gave them the same reward. And the ones who had been working began to argue. And they said, why are you arguing now? Did I not negotiate what I will give you? And I gave you what I planned to give you. Stop concerning yourself with others. Because they thought reward was based on labor, on how you labor. No, it's association. Oh my goodness. Because I see God connecting you to the right associations.
Yes.
And sometimes God disconnects you from the wrong association.
Yes.
I tell you the truth. God can pull you out of an association. and then you struggle to be there. Yeah. You struggle to be there. Do you know how many of you feel disappointed at yourself when you begin to look at where's Uche's wife? Where have you put Teki? The baby, Abby. All right. She can come inside. I'll give her VIP treatment. Please. Are my friends here? How many of you have seen the people you begged before? You begged them. Maybe some years ago, you were begging the guy to marry you.
Wow.
And now you look at the thing you were begging.
Wow.
And you apologize to yourself. Because sometimes God needs to take you away for a while to see that you were not seen. Yeah. I mean, how many of you look at the people you could have ended up with? And you're like, ah, God, I thank you. No, if you have that kind of story, raise your hand. Like, wow, quite a number. And you're like, wow. I dodged the bullet. And see how you were gravitating towards the bullet. You were begging. If there's anything you want me to do, I will do. I will kill my mother for you. Anything. Everything. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
The blessing by what? Association. You are not better than your friends, though. Your friends are a prophecy of your future. Yeah. Check your father, for example. Did you notice that all your father's friends have the same story? All of them married 2-3 wives. All of them are alcoholics. The stories are always, when you see people together, their stories are always, one might be the leader. It happens to one first. After the wife, pa, pa, pa. And they'll go another terrible issue. It will happen to them. Pa, pa, pa. They just progress in craziness. So you see here that these guys stalled all night, caught nothing, and now their ship is about to sink. Such a miracle. And if you ask them how, they will just say, Peter called us. And they did not continue the journey with Peter. Peter continued the journey of being an apostle. But they continued the journey of being millionaires. Yeah. So you can see that the apostolic calling of Peter to some is their own millionaire calling. I don't know if I'm preaching in the right church. Or is this the Korodu branch? This is Korodu branch. It's because I'm here is HQ. Anywhere I go, it's headquarters. If I relocate to Korodu, Korodu will be headquarters. It's me that is headquarters. You see, Jesus came there for Peter. But you see, there are other ministries that will be birthed because of Peter. Yeah. Not everybody will be an apostle like Peter. But the rest can have their ships full with fishes because of Peter. I tell you the truth. You know, one of the things I'm trusting God for everyone here is that God will open your eyes. Wait, before you say amen, for you to understand blessing on a spiritual lane. You see, a lot of you understand blessing naturally. But that same blessing, there's a way it is achieved also spiritually. I'm praying for that eye op- for you, for your eye to open, because that natural one, Satan is involved, and so you will struggle because you have Satan to fight. But you see, there's another way. Now, when you look at the blessing of Peter in this scripture now, the question you need to ask is, which textbook did Peter use? Or which skill? I tell you, there are blessings that break all laws. Yeah. There are blessings that will break all the laws. It will be a new law. Even you, it's after you are blessed, you go and start studying a lot there so that you can be teaching people. It's not like you use the law to get there. Yeah. Oh, see, everybody who can explain his life eloquently has not got divine touch yet. When God touches it, you have to go and be studying and look for explanation so you won't sound like a fool. But really, you don't know how it's being done. Yeah. I tell you. You see, but I already see you step into that plane.
Amen.
Should I still tell you something, or you are okay already? Or you want to go home and eat semo? Huh? Jerry, you want to go and have semo at home? Are you sure, Jerry? Now let me tell you about 5 or 6 types of qualities of blessed associations in the context of this scripture. You see, the first thing we see in this scripture are those who are willing to walk all night. Yeah. Those who don't easily give up. You need that kind of association. Those who don't give up. You know, those who give up have very demonic proverbs. When you hear somebody's proverb, you have an idea of the kind of life they've chosen to live. There are some evil proverbs. It's for those who have given up. There is a proverb that failures have.
Yeah.
Avoid proverbs, you see, that explain failure. Avoid it. It's a cage. Huh? Avoid it. When you see a grown woman say there are no men, say all men are useless. When you see an adult saying those kind of things, if you associate with that kind of a person, you see, your sink will not have fishes. Your sheep will not have fishes. You won't prosper in that area. From people's proverbs, you can tell their destiny. Yeah. Avoid proverbs that preach giving up. These guys toiled all night. And they caught nothing. And they were still there. You know, if you have toiled, it's easy to just go and drink beer. And say, hey, mi o ni ku mi o le wa para mi. Mo ti gbeyanju. Mo ti se wa mo le se. You know, you can just go and sing. Oh, Allah alone, Babi Esi Jare. You know, now who they alive? Now in the, you know, evil proverbs. You see, those proverbs are like demonic whispers. You see, that makes you not to hate your challenges. It makes you fall in love with your limitation. You romanticize your limitation. You enter into a love relationship with your failures. And you become a recruiter of failures. No. Have an association of hardworking people. You see, when you are not hardworking, you're going to have a lot of problems. The first thing that you have a problem with your life. You won't like yourself. The second thing is that you will have a problem with people who are forging ahead. Yeah. You become a master in criticism. Yeah. Why are you a master in criticism? Because you have to invalidate another's success so that you don't feel like the worst failure. Do you understand that? It's a very bad place to be in. You don't want to be there. You want to be forging ahead in the plans of God for your life. You don't want to give up. Because when you give up, you will be the headquarter of toxicity. I tell you the truth. You will be anointed with toxicity. Yeah. Anytime you see anything good, you always think that there is something we don't know. That is, you are suspicious of greatness. You will just be suspecting. I tell you the truth. Even if you see two married people happy, you just say, forget, all that glitter is not gold. But gold still glitters. So you don't know, forget this, you don't know. Is that there is a battle going on. And that battle cannot stop because you were made for greatness. And even though you give up, your nature hasn't given up. That's why you are behaving strange. Yeah. Yeah. You see, you must have a company of those who keep talking about what God has called them to do. They keep talking about it and they keep walking towards it. Don't be part of a company of people who talk about other people. It's a sign of institutionalized failure. Yeah. Like, it's not just failure, it's not just a passing failure. It's when failure deserves to be studied. That's what you are becoming when you sit down to always talk about others, mocking them. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I tell you the truth. You would really find, look at football, for example. You really find two great footballers mocking another footballer. No. It's those that can't score goals that mock. Yeah, it's you and I that mock footballers. Don't you say? I say, why did they hype Haaland? I've heard people say Haaland cannot play ball. Yeah, Haaland. I said, that one no be striker now. That one no be striker. But you really hear a Ronaldo speak down on another great striker. Why? Because one, he's busy on his craft. Two, because he's busy, he understands. Are you with me? He understands the cost. He understands. I tell you the truth. When you have done something before, you appreciate it very well. I tell you. When you haven't done it, your criticism rises. You just enter and say, what's all this now? Look at everywhere. Everywhere just messed up. It's because if you have really done it. You know all these men, some men will say, what's wrong with you? Just how many children are you raising? My mother raised 5. You see? That's the guy that even just when he eats and his stomach is big, he already goes to buy drugs. I have constipation. I have just big stomach, not carrying baby. Just big stomach is a big problem for him. He'll buy flagyl, he'll buy all the things for stomach. Are you together with me? You know, the Bible talks about how iron sharpens iron. You need to have a company of people who are passionate about a God-given dream. Listen, there is nothing inspiring in finding fault in others. It's the cheapest job you can ever do with your life. It's a waste of life. You have to get a company. Because Peter was going to choose from those who they told all night together. He didn't call somebody at home. He didn't say, let's go and look for somebody at home. The guy is a fisherman. It was those who they told all night together. Are you together with me?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
I'm not just preaching good sermon. I'm telling you what you should do. Get friends who are passionate about a dream, a God-given dream, a God-given assignment. Always talking about it. Always working towards it. Get someone that inspires you to work. Are you with me, friends? Inspires you to work. Inspire you to be a better person. Inspire you to keep moving forward. Give me Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man that what? Walketh not. So there is a blessing in what you are not doing. It's not every time the blessing is in what you are doing. There's a blessing in not doing something. It says, blessed is the man that what? Walketh not. So what are you not doing? What's the first one? The counsel of the ungodly. What? Now what? Stands in what? Know what? Sits in the seat of scornful. Don't sit in the seat of mockers. You see, mockers, I told you, are those who have institutionalized failure. Immediately you have concluded you are amounting to nothing, you will laugh at other people. It's a sign of ultimate supernatural laziness. Yeah, when you are blessed with the devil of laziness, when you are doing nothing, you mock. Yeah. You mock other people's efforts. You begin to discuss about what everybody is doing. You see, Selman has gone to the UK to pack the UK. He says, it's not about crowd. It's not about crowd. You see, Jerry is a packing prayer. Maybe say, it's not about prayer. Prayer is about, you just have ideas every time. For everybody. And you never have a negative idea about people who have failed. You always have negative idea about people who are succeeding. You never have issues with small people. You only have issues with lights. Anything that shines offends you. Because it indicts you. Are you together with me?
Yes, sir.
So you must build an association of those who what? Huh? Walk all night. Huh? Walk all night. You see, hard work, friends. Hard work is beautiful. Don't you think so? Hard work. We need to have a culture of what? Hard workers. You see, one of the ways you won't be able to live in sin is working hard. You see, when you don't have anything to do, you live in sin.
Yeah.
You see, you need time to sin.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need time. To be a sinner, you need ample of time. So say, what else can I do? What else can I do? You're idle. Don't be idle. If you don't have a vision for yourself, look for somebody who has a vision. And join yourself to the person and help the person out. Because if you are faithful with another man's, then God will give you your own. Yeah. Never be idle. You see, as you are listening to this message, one of the vows that you are making is that you will not mock anyone. That you will walk. Remember that that scripture, is it Romans now? That speaks about how you should mind your own business. Don't be what slothful. In business, minding your own business. Let's see that scripture, then we'll move to the next point. Are you blessed or you have stopped being blessed?
Blessed.
Or the message was powerful some minutes ago, now it's boring. Has it become boring?
Still.
It's still powerful.
Yes,
somebody read that scripture for me, please. Not slothful in business. Fervent. Yeah. Not slothful in. No, I'm looking for minding your own business. 1 Thessalonians 4:11. Wally, thank you. No, give me the version that put minding your business. NIV. And to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, you should mind your own business. So you can see that there is a connection between minding your business and working with your hands. When you are not working with your hands, you will not mind your business. Mind it. Mind. Put your whole mind to your business. Put your whole mind. Listen, the dream of God is so impossible to achieve that you need supernatural faith. I don't know how you have time. I tell you the truth. You need something from God. There's not enough time for that. You have to mind your business. Have an association of people who mind their business. I tell you the truth. To be critical is your perfect strategy to smallness. I tell you the truth. When you carry a critical spirit, you have a robust strategy of being small or remain small. You know, another blessed association you must have is that you must have an association of those who give to Jesus. Wow. Is that not a good association? Those who gives you. Provoking one another to good works. And one of those good works is what? Is given. Is that not a good association? Now, I'm talking about, you know, this story is about how Peter got blessed and his association got blessed. So we want to dissect that association. Because this particular association is always a blessing there. Oh my goodness. Those who what? Who give to Jesus. That place where giving is going on, there is a ship-breaking blessing that will come there. So have an association of those who give to Jesus. Have friends who's one of their ambition and hobby. You know, the way you know a man's true ambition is by checking what he's doing now. Anybody who will give is already giving. Anybody who will give but is not giving now will never give. Yeah. So you must have an association of those who give to Jesus. Is it not a good thing? We are givers, right? We just give to Jesus. Peter gave Jesus his boat. Right? Listen, and the way he did it was very funny. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's. Friends, the way Jesus used Simon's ship, it was not full of some serious courtesy and respect. Are you together with me? Our Lord just entered one ship and suddenly it was Simon's own. And Simon did not go and meet him and say, ask now. This is what we are talking about, the church. These men of God, the way they used to behave, just courtesy demands. Are some of you not like that, you know? Yeah. Jesus just entered one boat. But you see, if Jesus knew they would disgrace him, he won't enter. He already knows your hearts. Yes. Can Jesus just enter your finances like that? Can he just enter your finances? And say, all right, we're raising, you know, I just came to raise how many million? 30 million some weeks ago. All right, we're raising 30 million. Say, Pastor, you come, Alanu, we're raising 30 million. I just like that. That's Jesus entering your boat.
Yeah, yes, sir.
And you see, you already gave him a response in your heart. Say, we thank God, 30 million. Yes, Pastor, yes. Yes, we're taking the riches. Jesus entering your boat. Yes, sir. So this January that we are paying school fees, we are doing this. That's Jesus entering your boat. The question is, does he need your permission? Would Jesus ever need your permission to get a thing from you? Would Jesus need to beg you? Would Jesus need to respectfully collect something from you? And you know, a lot of us, the way you will know that you don't really love Jesus like you sing it, is that if a wealthy person asks you for something, actually, you'll give it to. I tell you the truth. If you had a meeting with Dangote, and maybe Dangote just said, "Wow, you look so good. I like this. Can I have it?" No. So gladly, sir. Why? Because say, ah, that can make us. Because the next time you are seeing him is with 85 proposals. I say, in respect to the resource you collected, sir. These are the business ideas on ground. But may the Holy Spirit do a work in our hearts. Amen. That Jesus will need our permission. Amen. He will need our permission. He doesn't need my permission. I said, Zach, time up, go there. We are gone. Zach, time up, go to that place. We go. Zach is over. He's over. Say, that's the person you're meant to marry. I marry her. That's the person I marry him. I said, God, that one. No. Let's try another person. Just forget it. Let's not talk about that one. God, talk about somebody else. Yeah, God, talk about this guy. Now, why are you not talking about this guy? This is the person you should be talking about, God. I hear you, yes, Lord, him. You need an association of those who give to Jesus. Is that not nice?
Yes, sir.
Are you going to be that person that gives to Jesus? Yes, like that's just the summary of your life. Like you're just giving to Jesus. And those who give to Jesus, their boat is about to break. Their nets about to break with miraculous supply. Very beautiful story. You know, after he entered the guy's ship, he still told the guy to push it for him. Yeah. And he said unto Simon, not this one. And prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. Jesus sat down and said, all right, push it. Just let me push it. When they use your sheep and they still give you work. Oh, I want the master to be that free with me. I want the master to be that confident with me. Knowing that I'll get it done. That I wouldn't think I've done my best already. You know, a lot of us are very arrogant too. Listen, you might not be arrogant to Jesus, but you're arrogant to the people he has sent. Yeah. If I ask for your car now in the freaker, I say we're going for missions and all of that. You know, you might think you have done me a favor. And I say, Pastor, please, can you quickly send somebody to come and get it? Yeah. Yeah, that's what you'd have done. But that's not what Simon did. There's a sense of, it's because you think giving the car is already a sacrifice. And now we should send somebody to come and get it. Because you have already done your best. You understand? And it will look like an insult if we said, bring it. You say, why is Pastor taking me for granted? You know, because you already have a grant that you don't want to be granted. You understand? You're already a grant. I don't know what that means. I'm just talking anything else. You get the point. You're already something. I tell you the truth. You see, sometimes we think we're not treating Jesus this way. But right now, you can't see him again. And he already told us that the way you treat people is how you treat me. He says, if you love people that, if you don't love people you can see, don't concern yourself saying you love me. So you must be that person and associate yourself with people who give to Jesus. You know, you're giving out your car for missions. You should tell the person, the missionary you're giving it to, can you give me a minute, let me wash it. Yeah, and please let me get it across to you. Or let me get someone to get it across to you. So far as my property, I have to make sure I give it to you in the best shape. Why? Because I'm giving to Jesus. Oh, it's never a sacrifice. It's a great privilege to do that. Huh? Is it not a great privilege? Was it not better that God asked you instead of asking somebody? Is it not an answer prayer? I thought you said, God, use me. And now the person that you asked to use is now pushing the car he wants to use. But Jesus did not push the boat. He told Simon, oh yeah, you gave me boat. Oh yeah, push it. And this is not after Simon's miracle. It was before the miracle. It was during frustration. A lot of you cannot even do well after miracle. But Simon was doing well in frustration. Because some of you are in the stage, you say, any pastor went near me now. Let me tell you one story. Oh my goodness, the Lord have mercy. I went to preach somewhere. You see. I went to preach somewhere. And it was a very good time. And after the preaching, it was a good time. People, the members came. You see, but the pastor said, he's suspecting him. He told me later that some of his members did not come. He said, he suspects. He said, because we have a guest. I said, what happened? He said, he noticed that his members have stopped coming whenever they have guests. He said, because they are afraid that there will be an offering raised. So whenever they have a guest, the members don't come. Because all their guests will always raise offerings. So the members too have started to use their brain. I said, oh my goodness, it was hard not to laugh. He said, so he had to tell his guests, I said, please, no reads offering. Such a very funny story. Yeah. I like this story. It teaches me how to give. That after giving, I must still wait whether there are further instructions. Further instructions. Don't give and think you're a big boy. No, you're always a servant. Oh my goodness. May you be servant enough that God is willing to hide resources with you. Amen. God releases his resources to servants. Servants have access. Servants have access. I tell you the truth. Servants have access. Yeah. You know, the person who works in the house sometimes even knows the Maggi that remains. Even the woman, the owner of the house might not know. They are the ones that will tell you. And may God catch you that the person who is working for you, you see, falls in love with somebody outside. I've seen such stories, though, several of you, where the person who you put in charge of your house has one Ackman. Is it as one Ackman that she's in love with? Your children will be growing lean, whereas Ackman will be growing big. I don't know. Why? Because she has access. I tell you the truth. When you take the posture of a servant, God will keep his resources with you. Yeah. That's the difference between why some people are blessed. Are you together with me? So you must grow associations of givers. Humble givers. Humble givers. Those who count it a privilege to give. You see, they don't see giving as something they do to get a crown. You see, to get a promotion. No, it's what they do because of who they are. And they are servants. It doesn't give you any kind of ranking. Yeah. Are you together with me? Yes, so we have those who don't give up. those who are hardworking, who are focused on their vision. We have those who give to Jesus. What about those who listen to Jesus? Because you see, after Peter gave his boat, he could leave. But he was still part of that sermon. He heard that sermon. Yeah. He heard that. He was part of that sermon. He didn't say because, I'm not preaching here. He didn't say because I'm frustrated, I didn't catch nothing, I'm not listening to the word again. You know a lot of people who are like that. You have prayed a prayer for many years. God has not answered you. You want to backslide. You stop going to church. You say, you see, this thing. You're not listening. You know a lot of churches who have instrumentalists who after playing, they are outside. What a curse. After preaching, they are what? The outside. When they hear that the pastor has raised one song, boy, oh man, I say, he don't sing. Go, that man don't sing. They go. They run. Wow. But you must create an association of those who listen to the word. Oh. Friends, I'm blessed listening to the word. If you take away YouTube from me, I don't know how I will survive in life. I tell you the truth. You can take away every other thing. You don't even take it away. I take it by myself. Yeah. I can do without many social media apps. I can do without WhatsApp. I'm gone. This year, I don't think I've been on WhatsApp for maybe cumulatively, maybe 1 or 2 months. Before you know, I'm gone. You just have type my name. You will not see me. You will send message. You will not deliver. No, I can do without WhatsApp. Because I found out that most of the blessings that come to my life doesn't come through WhatsApp. It's text message and phone calls. It's problem that usually comes. It's an easy way to pass an emergency to you. There are some messages. There's a way you open it without opening it. Just see it. Kai. You won't want to open it. Just say, I'm unaware. Because when you open it, Kai. it's an easy way to transfer problem. Yeah. WhatsApp is too easy. You see the problem. You know, so I can go off, but I can't go off YouTube. You know why? Because I need to listen to the word. The preachers I listen to, yeah, I listen. I don't think there's been a day in my life where I won't listen to a message. I can't remember a day in my life. I don't listen to me. Why? Because I don't have any other way to live life. I want to hear what's the Lord saying. There was a day I was sitting in my office some weeks ago, and I was crying. Tears were coming out of my eyes. I said to my child, I was crying. Because one of my favorite preachers, for some reason, he has not been preaching for months. And I was crying. I said, how will I survive like this? I went to his page again. He's his new pastor that is preaching. So why would this one be preaching? Where is my man? He's not preaching. I didn't know when I began to cry. It was only me in the office. I took a napkin, I will clean my face. Because I want to listen to him. He has not preached. Every week I'm checking him. He has not preached. He has handed over all these Oyinbo preachers. The way they hand over ministry, they need to learn from Daddy Gio. Any smart thing, a young man will just say he has handed over to the next. Which new generation? Our own pastors preach till they can, while preaching, they can just quickly leave the altar and go and die. You know, just. that's the style where I like. I just say, let's quickly wrap up. I want to go and die. Just finish preaching. All these Americans, I'm tired of them. You know, I don't like the way Americans behave many times. They can be so annoying. The other day, one preacher, American, one big ministry, before you know, just say he has lost his church. Once somebody says something, I was not doing press release. You know, I have to leave my church. I tell you, you did not call Oyedepo. Oyedepo did not tell you. You just allow rebellious people to break your ministry like that. And you are trying to behave modest. It's not modest. It's just I just want to say that I am the wife. We're going to another town. Which other town? They tried it for Tuneba Kare many years ago. The next Sunday came to church. He said, "You start. You." He called all their names. He said, "You call your people. Call yourself board of director. You when you were this was that not the one? All the board of fired. Sit down." You allowed English speaking demons to take away what God is doing in your life. God will cane you when you get to heaven.
Yes.
Saying that is rubbish. There is a way the church works.
Yeah.
We have our own system.
Yes.
We follow our system to do our thing. But that's by the way. What are we talking about? Those who listen. You have to listen to the word. You can't have another plan. You have to listen to the word. You have to be, that should be your only plan on how to live your life. The other day, was some days ago, my wife was speaking something and she was going a different direction. I was going when she was, I just released one scripture for her. I said, "This is what the Bible says." She just smiled. She said, "Why can't I just still argue even after you give me scripture?" I said, "Because if you do that, you are dead. You are dead outside the scripture." She said, "It's true. You win this one. We follow the scripture." It's the word. Yeah, you listen to the word. Stop. Listen. You are a foolish person. I tell you the truth. If we leave you to yourself, you are a fool. Plus your feeling of right. Yeah. You see, sometimes when you are crying, nobody did anything to you. I tell you, you are just crying because you are used to being a fool. Yeah. And somebody is violating your foolishness. It's not like somebody... You see, not all tears is a proof that you are... That you were wronged. You might be crying, but you have been too foolish that now to be right has now become difficult. That's why you are crying. And there is only the scripture that can put you in the right place. I tell you the truth. So you need to listen to the word. Have no other way by which you do your life except what the word of God. Because it is this type of people that the blessing comes upon. The blessing is not a fluke. It's not a fluke. There is a lifestyle that gets you the blessing. It's not like the thing is just moving and suddenly it fell upon you. No. There's a lifestyle. So get yourself those who do the word, who live the word. And also be one of them. Is this making any sense to you? Should I tell you the fourth one or I should tell you next week? I should tell you today. Or I should tell you later, maybe a Zoom meeting. You know, that's one of the ways to say you did a meeting that you don't want to attend. Just let's do it on Zoom. And everybody knows nobody would attend, you know. Recently, I saw somebody in a prayer meeting on Zoom. But I saw the person sleeping. I said, "Wow." And they were praying. And I said, "The person said, wow. What an attendance." Say, "What an attendance." Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Qualities of a blessed association. You know, and after Jesus preached and Peter listened, he now said that they should launch into the deep. And that was such a foolish instruction because they are told all night. Let's hear what Peter said. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, "Launch out into the deep. Let down your nets for a draught." And Simon answering said unto him, "Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless," the word "nevertheless" is even though, you see, I know you want to disgrace us. You understand? Everybody here who knows about fishing knows that there is no fish, but we give you the right to disgrace us. You see, those are the people who see miracles. If you want to see miracle, you must be ready to set up yourself for disgrace.
Yeah.
You must be ready. You will speak big. I said, "Tonight, Something is going to happen, and something might not happen. And somebody might go home ashamed. You see, but until you can be put to shame, God will not show up. Until you are willing to take that posture. Yeah. That's how you will start your business. I tell you, Toby, that's how you start your business. It's not going to make sense when you start your business. How you start your business, it's not going to make sense. But the Lord says you start your business, and you're just going to go out and start your business. Yeah, that's how you start your business. You're just going to do it. We're just purchasing this property. The wise thing to do is to look for how to say, and God says, leave. I'll leave. And then where we are going to, we're doing millions every week. Where we are going to now, we'll be doing millions weekly. Any Sunday service you attend like this, bam, millions have gone. Anytime you just, whenever we gather on Sunday, millions has gone. Millions. Just gather every Sunday. So every Monday to Saturday, there must be millions. Does it not make sense to just, God has given you a place. Why not just stay there? But you see, if you stay there, you won't save those millions. Because those particular millions is for that movement. That is why it will come. You must be shameless in obedience. Shameless. You're already 38 and a half. You see? And a brother has come finally. And the Lord says he's not the one. And then that brother has gone to meet your parents and all of that. And everybody's saying, Jekuri ekpeo, Jekuri ekpeo. You must be shameless in obedience. If you want God to bless you, you must be shameless in obedience. And sometimes it's one brother that, even your fellow sisters, you know, you have some brothers, everybody's trusting God is not the one. Yes. Say, God, I love you. I love you. But don't try. Heavenly Father, don't try. Heavenly Father. it's not like the person is terrible, but it's not just, it doesn't just cross around your, but I'm telling you, those who God will bless with a boat sinking type of blessing. There are those who can shamelessly obey God. And I think that we've come into that season where you have to learn to what? Shameless. Listen, if you perfect this one of shamelessly obeying God, you will see miracles. Yeah. Where you have lost your shame, your self-preservation.
Yeah.
This particular thing is, that's why many women don't enjoy their marriages. They're just afraid that if I submit, they have done the graph that if I submit to this guy, the way God told me to submit with him, won't he take me for granted? Let me just submit small. Is it? I've never able to submit, you know. You're not going to have a net breaking marriage. You have to be shameless in submission, shameless in love. You have to have the kind of love for your wife that your village people will call you and say, use your brain now. Low brain now. Once you bring by, you won't fit book bone cause or be real. You have to have that kind of love for your wife that your mother would suspect that she has taken bike on your behalf. Your mother would just suspect that this guy's wife has taken bike. And there are places only bike can reach. Even bike, at the time, we have to stop. You now walk. You now bend. You will never go there. Your amen doesn't look like someone who doesn't want to go there. You must be shameless. In obedience. You must be what?
Shameless
in obeying God. You see, to be a pastor, I had to be shameless in obeying God. Yeah, I had to be shameless. It was not easy. So what are you doing now? So, you know, I'm just into spiritual consultancy. I'm just... So I'm a life coach, you know. I just coach. I coach world changers. You are a pastor. That's all. Yeah. Those who are called into the ministry have this challenge, because you want to look like you are doing, you know, something worthy of, you know. And I'm parents don't make it. He said, "Who do you want to marry?" I said, "What does he do?" I say, "Pastor, and what?" I listened to one pastor. He said, his wife's father, he said, "What do you do?" He said, "I'm a pastor." "And what?" He said, "I'm just a pastor." The pastor, he said, the father asked, "Who are your sponsors?" He said, and he just listened to one bishop with Oedipus message. He said, "Papa, I don't have any sponsor. Jesus Christ is my sponsor." You have to be shameless in obeying God. That's how you enter into this. We have two more. Glory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Come on, can you give God a shout of praise in the house? The shout has ended just like that. What a shot. Glory to Jesus. You know what you are shouting about? You are shouting about that net breaking, ship sinking miracle that God is bringing your way. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Yes! Hallelujah. Awesome. You know, after the miracle had happened, Peter began to say, you know, "Depart from me, Father. Depart from me, Jesus." We began to see him manifest a new love, some kind of affinity. Kaya, yeah. You know, Kenneth, that's the kind of blessing God is bringing. You see people who are so blessed, but at the same time, they are so in love with Jesus.
Yeah.
Let me, you see, that this man represents it very well. What's that Igbo man? This, is it Costaris? Cosmos Maduka. When you see the way Cosmos Maduka talks about Jesus, you want to repent. And the man is a billionaire. You know, billions, that's how the Christian billionaire should look.
Yes.
The Christian billionaire should not be defined by that billion. He should not take his identity from the billion. You know, this guy just got a ship sinking miracle. And look at his response. He fell down. You see, people who have this kind of money don't think they need to fall down on their knees again. Are you together with me? Listen, I'm talking about the kind of prosperity that when God puts upon you, it will cause you to come to church earlier than you used to. Do you understand that? You are a billionaire, but you are rushing for Bible study. Rush. Oh my goodness. Those are the kind of people that I'm raising, you know? The oil upon me, that's what it's for. Yeah. It's also me when you get the billions, then you sew new suits that have parts. You know those? Yeah, the proud man suit. But the one that, the more the blessing is coming, the more your humility is oozing. And you see, you are not humble because now you are blessed, you are trying to be humble. No, you are humble because you are seeing Jesus.
Yeah.
You see, humility is because you are seeing Jesus. Yes. It's not because you are trying to be humble.
Yes.
Like you count it as an insult when people tell you are humble.
Yes.
That's true, because you're wondering, what would I be if not humble? You know, sometimes people look at people who are blessed, like, you are this blessed and you are still coming to church. I'm this blessed and I should be cursed. Why should the blessing look strange when you are serving the Lord. No, 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 no. I'm this blessed soul. I come early to church. Not regardless of my blessing, I'm coming to church. No, because of it. Not regardless of it. Because of the great God. So I'm not humbling myself. I'm just loving Jesus. So get an association of people who love Jesus. Right? You know the final one? Jesus Christ now told him, I know you got a great catch, but I'm going to make you a fishers of men. I'm going to make you fishers of men. The final one is those who allow Jesus to change their plans. Those who allow Jesus to change their plans. It's just okay for him to change our plans, isn't it? It's okay. Father, wherever you want us to go, right? We will go. You are that generation the Lord has blessed. You are that generation the Lord has chosen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I said hallelujah.
Amen.
Are there blessed people in this house?
Yes.
I don't know if there are people in this house who believe Jesus has chosen them to carry his treasure.
Yes.
Custodians of heaven's treasure.
Yes, sir.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Like you are the one God has chosen. You are the distribution channel of heaven. Heaven has chosen you to distribute his glory, to distribute his beauty. If that's true, why not bless him for doing that for you? Why not bless him for choosing you? Come on, bless him. We're going to take 3 minutes to bless him. In confidence, in faith. I wish I had people who are sure Jesus has chosen them. I wish they are here. Come on. And I love Jesus. I love